better, much better.
Blog Talk Radio.
I don't hear any music.
There it is.
Well, good evening on this wonderful Sunday afternoon, and we'd like to welcome you to The Man's Voice here. Things have been going on, a lot of things have been going on in the world, and you're going to hear thoughts from men all around the nation. But to lead this panel today, Bruce Cooper, who's down in up in Michigan, will take the lead, and we will discuss. But I tell him just that it seems like everybody's on. I see that Michael's on. I see that Don is on. I see that Spencer's on. I see that Bruce is going to take the lead as well as Ron is on. So let's get going, Bruce. If you can take the lead.
All right. Okay. I hope we have Jeremiah. If not, I hope he joins us soon. All right. As David introduced me, my name is Bruce. I'm in the Michigan heartland. And, of course, our other panelists are spread out all over the country. We've got David in Atlanta, Michael out in California. Oh, I wish I was there right now. Darius and Spencer also in the Peach State of Georgia. Don, Jeremiah, and Ron in the Miami area, Southern Florida. This is a positive evening, gentlemen, and we have grown into an international show thanks to our listening audience. Welcome to The Man's Voice. As mentioned earlier, it's Sunday the 28th and the eve of March. We are here to inform you every Sunday from 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time from many points of view that men have. Since David is our one of our panelists today, as he mentioned, and is our normal host, I will be your abnormal host tonight.
Wow.
And if you can, if you can believe this, we've had over 210 shows, 180 of them live, spreading more than four and a half years. And I want to thank everybody involved in that to make that happen. To our panelists, welcome, be safe, and spread optimism. To our audience, listen carefully, participate often, and practice kindness. Speak to us, challenge our views, and you do that by calling in the phone number 646-668-8740. 646-668-8740. Our panelists tonight with us are, of course, myself, David, Don, Ron, hopefully Jeremiah, Spencer, Darius, and Michael. We have a full contingent tonight, I think. It is our weekly goal to discuss more than politics, but we need your help by asking questions. Please call in, and you have the phone number, so we very much encourage that. Do not be shy. With all that said, let us get into the week and our conversation. I'm going to take this, gentlemen, by the days of the week and things that have happened. So let's get into Monday, this past Monday. I want to give you, first of all, a question, food for thought. A wake versus a woke. What is the difference between these two words and phrases, a wake society versus a woke society? Don't need to answer yet. Just think about that, you too, audience. So let's get into the first topic. American Rescue Plan or the COVID-19 relief bill. $1.9 trillion, only 9 to 10% of it was related to public health, 20% or less related to COVID. But it did pass, of course, we know that, and there are some good things about it. But some people are saying too many bailouts to states that were managed poorly. Minorities should get vaccines for the COVID-19 first, if based on politics, and those of need first based on common sense. Because if it's need first, which is what we're trying to do, it does not discriminate. Whether you're any color, any denomination, any thought process in your life, it's based on need. Gentlemen, what do you think of that? Michael, what do you think about that whole thing on the COVID Relief Act?
First of all, let me say hi to everybody and welcome to everybody listening. And Bruce, it's an honor to have you hosting this week, and you're doing an amazing job thus far. In regards to COVID relief, I'm on the fence about it a little bit because things are going better to me, it looks like, so I'm not really sure we need a lot of relief right now. I'm a little more concerned about the deficit, and I would prefer them to target the spending a little better as opposed to just willy-nilly throwing all that money out the door like they did last time. The $1,400 check is essential, but it's not essential to somebody who's making $300,000-$400,000, or even to me, $75,000 or above right now at this point. So, to be honest, Bruce, I got mixed feelings on that COVID relief bill right now.
Well, Michael, your perception and your thought is solid because I think a number of people agree with you on that, myself included, and I'm sure some of our other panelists that. The government that we have needs to get its spending under control. And we do need to help truly people in need. But I tend to agree with what you said. Well said. Is Jeremiah with us?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Donald, Mr. Wiggins, how are you today, and what do you think about the COVID relief bill?
Thank you. Thank you, David. I'm outstanding today, and thank you so much for hosting A Man's Voice on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I think every dime is needed. Why is it every time we get an opportunity to help people, we need to get a hold to our spending? We didn't even hear anything about our spending for the past 4 years, except for let me take care of my buddies and my friends and big corporations. I mean, they passed the budget like it was unheard of. And now people can't pay their rent. People can't really buy their grocery. People are suffering from COVID-19. Numerous people need help. America needs help the same way it did in 2008, 2009, and 10. Even more so. So I think every bit of it is needed. And it passed in the Congress. I'm looking forward to the Senate passing it. And let's get this country rolling. Take some of the pressure off the people. The people need help. Can't you guys see it? I mean, some of
Don,
you are doing, yes.
No, I was just going to add to strengthen your comment. Yes, there are truly people in need. But unfortunately, I struggle with this. If we could wave a magic wand and truly give the people that truly need the help, we would be so much better off and our money would go so much farther. But politically, that's an impossibility, unfortunately, because the moment we give to one, someone else will say, why not me? And that's a never-ending situation. So I do agree with you in concept of helping those that truly need to be helped. One last person on this, and we'll move on to Tuesday. Darius, my brother, what do you think about all this on the American Rescue Plan COVID relief bill, whatever you want to call it?
Hey, good evening, everyone, and good job, Brother Bruce. Good to be talking to you, man. I just wanted to say I agree with Don about people needing help and about us not needing to be as concerned about the budget when you know, you have dire situations like what we have right now. But the big problem I have is not needed because there's still a significant – somebody needs to mute their phone. There's still a significant amount of money from the last bill that hasn't even been spent. And I've been asking people to explain it to me. If you had a trillion-dollar bill that was passed before – and there's still, you know, I think like $600 billion of that that's still left on the table. Why do you need more money? If that money was going directly to the people who were hurting, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's a very small percentage. From what I understand, only like 9% of the total budget is going to the actual American people. So that's a problem. You got all this money going for the arts and endowment funds and you know, foreign countries and, you know, things that have, you know, bridges, tunnels, underground tunnels, you know, these are things that have absolutely nothing to do with COVID. So if we're going to spend the money, let's put the money in the hands of the American people. Otherwise, we shouldn't be doing a lot of stuff that we're doing until we've exhausted the funds that have already been approved.
Well said, Darius. And I don't think you'd get a lot of argument from a lot of people that if we could really make this money go where it needs to go and target the immediate need. There's always need in other categories, like infrastructure, but that's not what this bill is supposed to be about. Let's move on to Tuesday, gentlemen. On Tuesday at 7:12 in the morning, LA County, there was a high-speed car crash. I think you know where I'm going with this. Tiger Woods, one of our golf legends, it was in a serious one-car crash. He had multiple extensive leg injuries, crushed right ankle, and more that was not even mentioned. No impairment was found in his driving as far as drugs or alcohol. They had to pry him out of the vehicle. He was driving a rental that he may or may not have been familiar with. You know how complicated controls can be on these hybrid things, and he was driving a Genesis, and I can tell you it's very complicated to control or to operate. He was on a winding road, and they said at a high speed. When he crashed, he flipped the car several times, but he had his seatbelt on. Good thing to note. And a second car was had a crash related to this one, but not directly because of Tiger Woods. Surgery, 2 p.m. For hours. Local orthopedic care and recovery is ongoing now. He moved from Harbor UCLA Medical Center to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center and is in recovery. Tiger came through like a champion that he is. Doctors say he could have easily died in that crash. Will we have the pleasure of ever seeing him play golf again competitively? Why is Tiger Woods so loved, admired, and what did we almost lose within this man? Ron, you are up, sir.
Whoa. Thank you, Bruce, and you are doing a great job. You know, I can't say enough about what a class act and what a great human being and a great role model Tiger Woods is. He's not perfect. We all know that. He's made mistakes, and he's owned up to them, which I admire because a lot of people, I hope you know who I'm referring to, make huge mistakes and never apologize.
I can't imagine.
Having said that, you know, I hope that there is a full and speedy recovery. I think the world of sports and just the world in general, really, without somebody like Tiger Woods playing, is just not the same. You know, and why is he such a role model, and why is he such an important figure? I think, you know, I honestly don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think I do, but, you know, I'd like to see what other panelists have to say. But, you know, he's just he's put his whole life, all his energy, all his passion into this one sport, which, you know, he truly loves, and the world is enamored with, you know, the way he plays and his finesse, and there's never going to be another person like him. I mean, I don't even know what else to say about him.
Well, and I would add, as you mentioned, Ron, and then I would love Spencer's opinion on this, since he's our go-to sports guy, and he may have a different angle. But I would venture to say almost every champion does not make all the right moves all the time. And as you said, it's how you respond to those bad moves that really build the character.
Right. One more thing that I did just think of is, you know, he transcends sports. And what I mean by that is it doesn't matter what corner of the world you talk to someone. It doesn't matter whether they like sports or not. It could be somebody that knows nothing about sports. And you mentioned the name Tiger Woods, and I guarantee you, if not 100%, 99.9% of the time, everybody will know who Tiger Woods is.
He's a phenomenon. You're right. Spencer, what do you think about all this, about Tiger and his accident?
I think it was unfortunate. That had to happen to him. I know the doctors don't think he'll be able to play golf again, but maybe only because of his age. But I think he will be able to bounce back and play golf again. But I think people love Tiger so much just because he's one of those athletes or people that have one of those transcending powers, you know. In the sports world, like Michael Jordan or even a Kobe Bryant, you know, and he dominated a sport that was mostly dominated by, you know, white male athletes, and he came in so young as a phenom, and he kept it consistent. And then I think was the last year, you know, after he don't fall it off for such a long time, people just wanted to see that old Tiger, and he came back and he won the PGA championships and the Masters.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been an unfortunate event. I think it would have had that Kobe effect if he would have died, you know, just because of the person he is. And also the way how the players, especially a lot of the younger players, you know, look up to him, even some of the older ones, just because what he has done for the world of sports and for the game of golf, you know, and he is a class act, you know. And I can't say I ever heard anything when he has came out of pocket, as you would say, you know, in golfing, or, you know, I understand he gets frustrated, but never probably disrespecting any players or anything like that. You know, he's always been an upstanding guy in the world of sports. So I think that's why people, you know, gravitate to him and love him so much. And we still have this, even this aspiration, is he going to get another championship? You know, when is the next one coming? You know, is he playing? Even through all these surgeries, he's been through so much. So that's mostly when I think about Tiger Woods and how he done even changed the game of golf and everything.
Excellent, Spencer. Yeah, you know, we could spend a whole hour on Tiger for the person he is, the passion of sports, the love of people, his nurturing, all of that. But would anybody else like to add just a little bit more before we move to Wednesday? Wednesday is a full day. No? All right. Let me move into my Wednesday. Remember I said give some thought to a wake society versus a woke society. Wokeness versus awakeness. The backward thinking and rot from within in today's being woke only divides us more. We need to find common kindness, common beliefs, common passions in order to wake us up. And what I'm saying by that, I'm not demeaning people that want to use, because the definition of woke is the awareness or the potential awareness of social and racial concerns, justice. So by its name, it's not a bad thing, but it's being associated with too much that's dividing our country instead of pulling us together in races and groups and so forth. Darius, what do you think about all that?
I was trying to understand, you know, the difference in the wake and the woke. But I agree with you. It's very divisive, you know. And if we could look for, I'm going to put it this way. Let me rephrase this. Sometimes things are so good that the things we complain about have to be manufactured. And what I'm saying is, I think that America as a whole, compared to other countries around the world, is in really, really good shape. And the way that you know it's in good shape is when people have to point to things, to the type of books that are in the library that offend them, you know, or a statue that offends them. You know, there are countries where there's mass genocide happening. You know, there are countries where people are getting raped and forced abortions. We live in a really, if we just would look at the successes and the luxuries and the comforts and the way we get along here in this country, if we would focus on that and stop trying to pick out things that people did, you know, hundreds of years ago, or even, you know, yesterday that are divisive, then I think we would be a lot happier. The woke culture is a very angry and unhappy culture because they're constantly seeking the negative in this country as opposed to the greatness and being optimistic about where we're headed as a country if we can remain united.
Thank you, Darius. It made me think, too, that I would even settle, I think a lot of us would settle for, if half of it was wokeness in the way you defined it, or the things that divide, or the things that are negative, and the other half was the positive. That way we could at least compare what people are thinking on both sides of the fence or both sides of the issue. But we're not getting that. We get one side and only one side. And, you know, the old adage is the more you hear the same thing, whether it's right or wrong, the more it's going to be believed. Michael, what do you think about all this?
Well, first let me say this, Bruce. I think what you're doing is an awesome job with going through the week, like days of the week and the events that happen in that day of the week, and we discussed that. I think that's a brilliant idea, so kudos to you for that one, and hopefully we can adopt that moving forward on the show. In regards to the woke culture, I mean, it's no secret that I'm a proud member of Black Lives Matter, and we embrace the woke culture. I think the culture is not woke enough. I think we need more of the wokeness, because it just amazes me how all of a sudden I hear people saying, especially people on the right and Republicans saying, oh, we should just figure out a way to come together. Let's come together now. But for the last 4 years, I didn't hear you guys saying, let's come together, when Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell slammed Amy Coney Barrett onto the Supreme Court. I didn't hear, let's come together and work with the other side. So it seems like the people who are not with the woke crowd, like myself, you guys are saying, let's come together now because you're in the minority. But for hundreds of years in America, it was and I don't want to take it into the race situation, but it was a white man's only country to me. And I never heard anybody say, well, let's come together. But now that we're rising up and the minorities are kind of coming up a little bit, all you guys want to say, well, we should figure out a way to work together. You never wanted to work together, but all of a sudden now you want to work together. So, no, I'm not with that. I'm with the woke culture. I support the woke culture, and I'm definitely in support of the cancel culture. We need to cancel a lot of more people than we've canceled thus far.
Michael, think about this, though. I understand your passion, and I don't, you know, I'm not picking on it. Wouldn't it be interesting as if wokeness in today's definition exposed and discussed both the negative and the positive. That would make wokeness a better definition, a stronger definition for more people to understand and like. And ultimately, that's what you want. You want to convince people of that. Let me move on to another item here. And Don, I would like to get your impression of what I'm about to mention. Mainstream opinion columnist of the USA Today, Jason Slater, thinks it was a good idea to bury the entire 500,000 COVID deaths, the milestone we just reached, which is terrible. But he wanted to bury all those dead people at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort because he is responsible for all of it. What a vile, and this is just my opinion, what a vile, insensitive, stupid statement to make. What do you think?
It speaks for itself. It's an ignorant statement. You know, I don't subscribe to that. But I did want to comment on what I just heard about wake and woke. May I do that?
Okay.
I want to stay woke. I agree with my brother that spoke so well about the woke. I'm awake right now because I remember the woke. Proposition 14 woke me up. It woke me up. It woke Martin Luther King Jr. up. It woke a lot of people of color up. And we've been trying to stay woke. And I hope we stay woke and not let the past repeat itself. Because one thing I really admire about the Jewish denomination and Jewish people is they will never let you forget the Holocaust. It will never happen again because they stay woke. And we as black people must stay woke because what I saw the past 4 years, I had to wake up and stay woke and make sure it never happens again.
Well,
now,
you know,
to answer your question before you go on, Bruce. The people put on Donald Trump, the 500 people that died. He's got the blood on his hands. He's got to deal with that. He's in Orlando now, repeating the same old rhetoric. And I'm just woke.
Okay, fair enough. All I was saying is it'd be nice if we could, if that definition could include both positive and negative things, or good and the bad, but we'll move on. Anita Bennett Dunn, American political strategist for the President Biden, for our newly elected president, this week commented, COVID-19 is the best thing that ever happened to Joe Biden. Now, we can say it might have been taken out of context, but I did a little more research, and it really wasn't. There was more said ahead and behind, but it wasn't. It helped him to follow the minimal participation approach and give him the only issue that most likely would have beat President Trump in the national election. What say you about the president's strategy? And what say you, Mr. Ron, or excuse me, yes, Ron.
Hello, Bruce.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Did you call on me? I didn't hear the first part of what you were saying.
I did. But did you hear my comment, or do you want me to come back to you later?
Yeah. Please come back.
Okay. All right. Well then. Let's see here. Spencer, what do you think about that? Spencer? Did we lose him? I think we did. Who would like to comment on that? Anyone? All right. Well, then I will let it.
Bruce,
what's that?
Maybe,
yes.
maybe everybody wasn't able to hear the first part. Like, I didn't, I wasn't able to hear it. I don't know if everybody else was.
Well, all I mentioned was the COVID that Anita Dunn, the strategist for the president, had mentioned earlier this week on Wednesday that the COVID-19 situation, virus, whatever you want to call it, was the best thing that ever happened to Joe Biden, because it allowed him to do it the way he wanted, stay out of the public, a low-profile approach. And it was really the only way he could have beat President Trump. May or may not be true, but that's what was said. So I was just seeing if anybody wanted to comment on that. If not, I will move on to the next subject.
Hey, Bruce, let me comment on that. Bruce, I'd like to comment
on
that.
All right.
Why would someone say 500,000 people dead is the best thing that ever happened to someone? I mean, we got a situation where more deaths were displayed than the World War I, II, and the Vietnam with this COVID-19 and this pandemic, and that was the best thing that could happen to Joe Biden. I mean, that's an asinine statement to even make.
Yeah.
And here we are,
I agree with you.
Trying to deal with this situation. See, and that's what happens. We get people with a platform will make asinine statements, and then we have to live with those asinine statements.
Right. And that,
Bruce, who was it
Don,
that said that?
Don,
Bruce, let me weigh in on that. Her name was Anita Dunn. Let me weigh in on that
Anita
a little bit.
Dunn.
I didn't want to say anything. I'm sorry, Bruce. I didn't want to
Anita
say anything.
Anita Dunn
I didn't
is one of the president's strategists, political strategists.
Yeah, her name's Anita Dunn, and I just read the article. I didn't want to say anything because I hadn't heard of that, so I just Googled it and read up on it. That's hearsay. There's no guarantee that she said that. Somebody wrote a book, and they said they overheard her say that in a conversation. So I'm not going to really weigh in on that one because I don't know if that's a factual comment from Anita Dunn. She's a senior advisor to Joe Biden. That's who she is.
Right,
and
right.
A friend
okay.
of a friend said they heard her say that once upon a time. So there's not a guarantee
right.
that she actually said that, so we can't really speak on it until we get the facts on that one.
Well, and we won't debate that tonight because we don't have time. Next up, gentlemen, I think you'll all want to probably chime in on this. Has anyone been able to check out President Biden's proposed gun registration laws, and the new fees that they're possibly talking about? Do you think there's going to be a lot more restriction on just general public gun ownership, or is he going to go after the what he calls, you know, the weaponized weapons, the ones that the military type weapons? What do you think? Haven't heard from you, Michael. What do you think?
I think Joe Biden is going to really upset a lot of people, a lot of Second Amendment supporters. With this, I support it because I'm not a big gun guy. I'm not big on guns. Guns have caused terrible carnage to my community over the years, so I'm not a big fan of all the guns. But I do think it's gonna be a hell of a fight because the NRA has a very, very strong hold on politics and on this country. So I think he's in for a big fight in regards to that because those Second Amendment advocates are gonna be up in arms over it.
Well, and I would tend to agree with you, Michael, because not just for that reason, but that's one of the ingrained, inherent, whether you agree with it or not, rights, as they say, given to this country from its creation. And the increased gun sales and all that, I think if someone knocked on your door and said, "Give me your guns," oh boy, we'd have a real problem on our hands. Let's move on from that because that's a well-made point, Michael. Undocumented immigrants or illegal aliens, as some people do not like to hear, but both sides, foreign nationals living here without official authorization in the country of which they are not a citizen. The Democrats, left continues to use 11 million as the alien total, which is from a report of over 16 years ago. Did a little research on that. Estimates from various sources say that it could easily be 22 to 30 million, double or triple that amount now. The only reason I bring that up to illustrate the surge and the amount is we won't debate the cages and the kids and all that, all serious, but we don't have the time. What, gentlemen, and anybody pop in on this, what is wrong with having embracing immigrants of all kinds from all countries, but properly vetted before they come into the country versus just walking in and being released? If you lived on the southern border states, how would you feel? I would be scared to death, quite honestly. So what do you think, gentlemen? Who wants to take that one first?
Well, Bruce, I just heard in the news this morning. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the subject, but I just heard in the news this morning that the kids that are coming on their own without their parents are the ones that are being allowed in. But the ones that are coming with their families or with other adults are being turned around right at the border. So I don't know where that information is coming from.
Well, the total that I quoted isn't just like right now. They're just saying there's probably a lot more undocumented immigrants in our country, double or triple the amount that we're saying we have. It just impresses upon the point that it's a problem we need to address and address properly,
well,
that's all.
And yeah, and to that point, Bruce, I mean, this is a country that was formed by immigrants, basically. I mean, if you go around the panelists, I bet you every single one of us has ancestors that are not from, except David. I know David has original American Indian blood, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, my ancestors came from Europe and from Cuba. And you know, so I think nobody would disagree with the fact that immigration needs to be maybe a little more structured. But, you know, we should embrace, like you said, we should embrace people from all nationalities, all countries, if they are coming here to make a better life for themselves and doing it in a legal way.
Yeah, I couldn't. Darius, what do you think about this subject?
I noticed that Ron didn't answer the question. no Democrat.
Well, no Democrat. I'll defend him. He did a little bit, and he agrees that there should be more structure in accepting people into our country, and we won't go into all the things that means structure. So I think he answered it.
So let me be clear then. So he doesn't support unvetted immigrants walking across the border or swimming across.
No,
okay,
I don't. I don't support that.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's what I wanted to clear up, because I haven't heard any Democrats stand up against. So then let me ask Ron this then. So are you for the stopping of the construction of the border wall then?
Yes, I am. I don't think, you know, a wall is so medieval. I'm drawing a blank now on the president, Nixon, tear down the wall between East and West Berlin. You know, we don't need a wall between one of our partners for so many decades. You know, we just need more control. Okay, that doesn't mean a wall. I mean, what are you going to do? Build a dike or something around South Florida so that the Haitians and the Cubans stop coming over?
So this is the thing, man. This is where I run into a problem with most Democrats. First of all, the wall in East and West Berlin was to keep people in, not to keep people out. But what happens with the wall on the border is you can't say in one breath, oh, I'm not for having people flood across the border unvetted or unchecked, but we shouldn't have a wall up. That's like, you know, that's like saying, hey, I'm not for shoplifting, but, you know, when people come in the store, if they happen to walk out with anything, we shouldn't stop them. You know, you can't have it both ways. And so I'm looking for the argument from anyone, not even an argument, but an explanation as to why is it okay for people to be able to walk across our borders unvetted. I just don't get it.
It's not. I didn't get an answer from you. It's not okay.
Well, but you don't want to prevent them.
Once they get caught, they need to be turned back and sent back if they get caught. The problem maybe is that we don't have enough border patrol.
Well, gentlemen, let me interject just one thing that you just touched on, Ron. So why wouldn't it be okay then as a compromise, capital C, compromise, of finishing the wall, having controlled points that don't need people, patrol officers acting as the wall, which is a lot more difficult and probably more costly, and have those controlled places to vet people and let them in the proper way? What would be wrong with that? That's not keeping them out. It's knowing
who's
coming in.
But let me ask you and Darius, why not build a wall then between the U.S. and Canada?
I can't answer that. It may be a good point. It may not. The immediate answer would be they don't see that as a threat, but that even that can change. People can come around that way.
As a threat to what, Bruce?
I can answer that one. I can definitely answer that one because
– Go ahead, Michael.
Because the first answer to that question would be, of course, because they don't view it as a threat, and your answer is a threat from what? I live in Los Angeles, California. California is the epicenter of immigration, and everyone knows I'm a far-left liberal, but on this one I got to agree with Darius and the Republicans and Trump on this one. I agree with building the wall. I really think America needs to be protected. We got to protect our borders. If we don't protect our borders, we're not a country. And the reason I say that is just give me a second to explain this. Growing up as a kid, I used to cut grass. That was how I made my money on the summers. I used to go out and cut yards and buy my school clothes. Well, now I have a teenage daughter, and none of her friends, male friends, can go out and cut grass and cut lawns in our community because the illegal immigrants come over with their lawnmowers, they cut the grass, and they take the money back over to their country. So that's eliminated all the American teenagers from summer jobs doing lawns. Fast forward that to working in fast food restaurants. I took my teenager to try to get her a job at fast food restaurants all throughout Los Angeles, and she could not get a job because all the illegal immigrants were coming over with their entire families working in those restaurants. So I think that's wrong.
I don't think that's right, and I'm not saying that we should have unprotected borders. On the contrary, but let's do it the right way. And, you know, I think it's really about the fact that the people that are coming in through our southern border are brown and the Canadians are white. I really think that's what it is.
Well, guys, let me move on. Hold on. We're not going to solve this tonight.
Bruce, you opened up a powder keg here, brother.
Well, I know I did, but we're gonna leave that one sealed for next week. We can come back to it and move to Thursday. So Thursday, protection of women and transgender bio males. President Biden is talking about basically putting a lid on, gutting, whatever word you want to use, Title IX, which will now allow both the to compete as women in all sports, plus access to women's shelters, private spaces, locker rooms, showers. Transgenders need our respect and space. They need their space. But why is there a push to do this over fairness to bio females? Well, why can't it be handled another way? Who wants to take that?
David's been very quiet.
Well, David's quiet for a reason. How about you, Spencer? You've been quiet.
Whew. Okay, now this right here is a tough topic.
Just give us your thoughts.
I mean, my thoughts on it, on the whole thing, from what I've been hearing, is I just disagree with Biden as far as the fairness in sports. I just think when it comes to that level, I understand that you're transgender and what you identify as, but I still think you need to go to your designated area for what you have, if you understand what I'm saying, you know, as far as your genitalia is concerned. You know, it's I don't know how, even though it is accepted, mostly women accept men of that stature more. They just accept it more. Let me say that. I don't go to the other side. If you know, you have physical women that say there are men coming to the bathroom or to use the bathroom. I just think different things happen to those women who identify as male. Because somebody might not see them like that and still see them for who they think they are, and something might happen just to give us a name.
Right.
And
yeah.
Also when you go to sports, I think
yeah.
there's a big event. You know, it's just a big disadvantage. And I think issues will arise as far, this guy here is identifying as a woman, but he's racing a lot of, let's say, just in track and field, you know, tall, stronger, more muscular, strides a little longer. You know, they have an advantage over these women just in playing sports, you know. Sports size, just it's advantage on both, just for men in general, you know. So,
well,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just saying, I'm just kind of torn to see how they could put that in there on that level. You know,
I think you'll agree with this, Spencer. I don't think it's going to stay the way it is right now. It can't. And we'll leave it at that. My last item for Thursday before we move into Friday, gentlemen. Dr. Rachel Levine, used to be called Dr. Richard Levine, Dr. Rachel Levine, she wants to be the Assistant Secretary of Health and give sex change education to students as young as 3 years old in school without parental knowledge or approval. Is this okay with you, and would your opinion be different if you were a parent? Who wants to tackle that? Don?
Okay, I'll take it. I have nothing to say about what another person's preference is. If a person wanted to be a male, female, I think that's their own personal choice. I was totally against that belief system in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s until I began to get a realistic look at it and not be religious and be spiritual about it. In religion, they would call that a sin. And I had to look at the fact that we all have sinned and fallen short, and which sin is greater than the other. So I don't subscribe to choosing one side or the other. I have good, great relationships on both sides. Now, the person that wants to govern our people and our kids, I don't think they should push their belief system on a group of people. You have your belief system. I have my belief system. I'm not going to challenge yours, or I don't want you to challenge mine. And that's the way I like it.
But Don, more to the point, because I value your opinion, I value all of yours, but you're up on this one. Is the education of students as young as 3 years old in school without the parents knowing it? I find that extremely disturbing.
That's what I'm saying. It's totally unacceptable, Bruce. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
She needs to keep her belief system to herself. And furthermore,
gotcha.
You can't educate children like that. Keep your belief system to yourself. They're going to get old one
yes.
day. Let them choose what they want to choose.
Yes. Okay. Back on a little bit of sports, but Spencer doesn't have to be the only one, but of course he's welcome. The 2021 Summer Olympics. Oh, by the way, gentlemen, I've moved into Friday for sake of time. 2021 Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. Should we participate in these Olympics, even with Japan's stance on human rights and protections? If not, could we pull together a Freedom Games or Freedom Olympics for those countries not wanting to support Japan in this case? Who wants to take that one? Who's been quiet? I think you've all spoken up, but who wants to take that one? If you don't, I'll call on you.
Hey,
okay,
hey Bruce, I'm sorry.
Can you explain again
what's the problem with Japan again? The human rights issues is what you say?
Yeah. The thing that a lot of people are objecting to right now is some of the inhumane treatments and that. I am not up on every little nuance and every little thing that's going on, but that's the general gist of it. And there's enough countries, not just America, that are concerned about that and are struggling whether they should participate in the Tokyo Olympics or not, Summer Olympics or not.
Hey, didn't we have the Olympics in China?
What's that?
Didn't we have the Olympics in China?
I think we did.
Yeah. So if we can have the Olympics in China, we should be able to have them anywhere. I mean, why is everyone so afraid to call out the atrocities that are happening in China? I mean, the racism, the genocide, the forced abortions, the coronavirus. Like, why are we so afraid of China? And then we'll pick on these other countries. Even America, we'll talk about our human rights issues, but no one will mention China. What is it about China? I just don't get it. And I know that's
well, there is
question,
one person that's taken China to task.
Oh, we know who that is. Absolutely.
Yeah, we know who that is.
Just an
observation, gentlemen.
We can have it anywhere. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Saturday, moving on. The most important thing on Saturday. I was taking lots of notes, gentlemen. I've skipped several. We could do this 2 hours. Okay, Saturday, Obamacare, Affordable Health Act or Affordable Care Act. Enrollment in 2021 is about 8.3 million, and the total expected was they were hoping about 25 million. This is only 33% of what they expected. The nuance I heard today, which just had my head shaking, whether you think it's good or not, to entice more enrollments, there are larger subsidies passed in the COVID-19 relief bill for the richer wage earners, those that are, you know, the richer wage earners, to get more families to sign up as soon as possible. In other words, they want to raise the ceiling of those that are eligible for the Affordable Care Act and entice them with more credits to get them to sign up. Isn't that the wrong reason to make this available? Because those that really need it and what it was intended for in the first place, the poor and disadvantaged, wherever they live, was because it subsidized them and made it hopefully a little more affordable for them. And if you get a bunch of people that really don't need it just to use the subsidies taking that money, that's less for the ones that truly need it, the poor and disadvantaged. What do you guys think about that?
Hey, Bruce, let me weigh in real quick on this, Bruce. Like I said, you're doing a really good job, but you're getting to the point now where you're picking a lot of Fox News talking points for your subjects right now.
I got half of these from all the subject matters. I did not go to just Fox.
I mean, there were a lot of more important things that happened on Saturday other than just the situation with the Obamacare, but I'll go ahead and weigh in on that. I think the Republicans need to just go ahead and let Obamacare go. Just leave it alone. It's a done deal. You can't let go of the fact that Barack Obama has his name on a signature piece of legislation. Just let it go. Obamacare is over. It's a dead horse. Quit beating it.
No,
Michael,
go ahead, Don, because I'm agreeing with you. This is taking away money from the people that need it most.
But let's not even talk about Obamacare. There's so many other things we could talk about.
Well, you know, let's put it real plain and simple.
with COVID-19 and the health disparities among people of color and people prior to the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, we haven't seen anything yet. Wait till after COVID. Wait till 2025. There's going to be so many health disparities and health issues. Healthcare is the biggest issue facing us today, and it's going to get worse.
Being able to afford health coverage, you're right, Don. And I hope the H, you're wrong, but only time will tell us that, that's for sure. And we're just about out of time, gentlemen. I want to make a comment about Sunday, and then I'd be more than happy to go back if we have a few minutes to revisit. Sunday, I learned just today that $36 billion per year is to be taken out of Medicare, of which I am near and dear to, since I'm a retired vintage person, taken out of Medicare for the next 10 years, or $360 billion total. We retired citizens are supposed to be first in line on this fund. Too many administrations, I'm including everybody in this, have robbed from this cookie jar for too long, and it has to stop. Now, somebody wants to comment on this, don't you?
Now, Bruce, who made a statement, who made an asinine statement like that?
Who made it? Who made it?
Who made it?
Don Lemon on CNN.
He can't affect that. I mean, he has nothing to do
with
that.
Well, I'm just telling you where I got it. That's all.
I don't believe it. If anybody tried to attack that, Bruce, they would have World War 5.
It was a sacred promise, wasn't it? You're into that age group. We're getting there. I am. And you're all eventually, if God loves you, you live long enough, that's supposed to be there for us that contributed to it. And we've had not just now, but too many things sticking their hands in that cookie jar. It's just not right. And I wonder if it's ever going to stop.
Can you picture a politician saying that they want to attack that fund or that pool of money that our group of people are receiving now? Do you think one would be bold enough to say that they support something like that?
No, that's why there's not being much said on it. You're exactly right. They're smart enough not to stand in front of too many TV screens and say, this is what we're going to do. I agree. No, very few would. But check and show me that I'm wrong. I hope I am. But I've heard that twice this week. Well, gentlemen, we're just about out of time. And Spencer, I messed up your sports segment. Is there anything you can give us real quick, words of wisdom on sports, while we have a few minutes left?
Not much happened, really. Things that was predicted. You know, yesterday we had a couple big fights. Canelo fought for his super middleweight title, third round, which he don't have opponents no more. So he's just beating up on everyone. Kind of disappointing. But other than that, nothing much really happened. As far as today, I haven't watched any sports today, actually, at all.
You haven't?
I haven't watched any sports at all today.
Spencer?
At all. You know, I've been out all day. I haven't actually watched TV all day, so. But
all right.
Yes, not much happened besides a couple basketball games, the tournament, the shape up. So.
Well, with the music starting to play, I want to wish all my brothers on the panel and our normal host versus me, the abnormal one, have a great week, and thank you for participating. And callers, call in with your questions next time, please.
Well, let me jump in here and say, Bruce, you did a wonderful job. We are expecting to grow with our intelligence on what's going on around and be back next week. And we'll have another one of the panelists taking lead next week. I will talk to the panelists and we'll get there. Once again, thank you guys. And thank you, Bruce. You did a wonderful job. And once again, we'll be back next week. And we're hoping, I've talked to several people, but I'm hoping some of you will really want to jump in. All right, guys. Have a great week.
Have a great week, everybody.
Love you, brothers. Take care. Be safe.
Good job, Bruce.
Awesome job, Bruce.
Thank you.
Good job, Bruce.
Thank you.